We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hey, it's Monday. It's Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Day happy hour here all day long during the Today in Ag show. I want to start out before I get to the weather is, you know, October is America Farmers Month. They call it Farmers Month, but we're going to call it America's Farmers Month. Anyway, here at KCO Paragon Communications, which was KDS, Cool 94, KCO, Penny News, just everybody here at Paragon Communications, we're going to be doing a salute to American farmers all month long. And farmers, thank you for continuing to measure your time, not in hours, but acres. For running through the night to finish harvesting a field before the rain comes, and for working through extreme temperatures and weather conditions to check on and care for livestock, thank you for all your hats you wear on a daily basis to keep your farm moving forward. And I'm going to add for feeding the people. We got some sponsors. This is going to be sponsoring this. Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart. Ag Defense Risk Management out of Elgin. Walter Cattle Company right here in Elk City. Harrison Cattle Company right over there in Arapahoe. Elk City Livestock Auction. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Six Wire Company out of Allison, Texas. Farmers Union Co-op here in Elk City. Mickey Goosen. Misty Goosen Agency. In Clinton, insurance agent there. And Everett's Welding out of Bayside, Oklahoma. Thank you so much for sponsoring a salute to American farmers. And we'll be saluting it, honoring it all month long. Let's do some weather up check. Weather check here, pretty temperatures, sorry. It's 83 degrees and Beaver. 82 in Arnett, 84 in Eric, 85 at Hollis, capital of Harmon County. The warm spot right now looks like it is at Grandfield at 88 degrees, and I think that's in the whole state of Oklahoma. 83 at Sealing, 86 at Cherokee, and 82 at the May Ranch. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, we have 80 degrees at Lipscomb, 81 at Miami, 79 at McLean, 83 at Wellington, and 85 at Odell. And we'll have more weather during the show. Looks like rain's on the way. We got a pretty good shot of some rain starting tomorrow evening out here in western Oklahoma, probably tomorrow afternoon out in the Texas Panhandle. So anyway, get your chores all done, all that good stuff. Nothing crazy happened out on the Clark Ponderosa this weekend. Got the drill back yesterday. I'm going to hook it up here in just a little bit of the show. Get some rye in the ground. Going to sow it in some cover crop. So if it rains hard, shouldn't hurt it too bad. Not a whole lot. Got some cattle shipped off to the sale barn. Other than that, pretty dull weekend. Except for last night, my favorite trapper trapped around 30 to 40 big old hogs on my place west of Willow last night. So that's about 30 or 40 less of those little gotta watch my mouth here animals to deal with, and did a really good job. I think the biggest one was around 250 270 boar, and the rest of them, they were big set of deals. I posted it on Facebook. So anyway, thank you very much to the USDA and the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture for helping control those little varmints. I did discover something last night, this weekend. Well, actually, last night. So we get sticky traps out for mice, and usually put a little dab of peanut butter in the middle of it. Last night, I put 5 kernels of rye grain in the middle of this sticky trap, and I had a double this morning. So I don't know if I'm onto something there. You know, peanut butter might be a week, and they finally get hungry enough to get on it. But 5 grains of rye grain on a sticky trap last night, and I had a double. So anyway, if you're having mice problems and you haven't been able to catch them, stick some grains of rye or triticale or wheat on there and see what happens. I don't know. Maybe just luck. Maybe they just happened to be going on a hot date through the closet last night and wasn't paying attention to where they was walking. But they're no longer with our society today. So anyway, yep, we got a good chance of rain coming through. So hopefully we got all that coming. Be great. And we need a rain in a worse way. Let's see what happened overnight on the ag world. Soybean futures were lower in overnight trading after a government report showed inventories came in higher than expected. Stockpiles of old crop beans on September 1st totaled 268.2 million bushels. That's up from 242 million bushels expected by analysts polled by Rutgers, but down from the 274 that were in storage at the same date a year earlier. About 72 million bushels were stored on farms at the start of September, while 196.2 million bushels are in off-farm storage, according to the USDA. Corn inventories on September 1st came in at 1.361 billion bushels, the agency said, below the trade estimate for 1.429 billion bushels. Some 1.37 billion bushels of corn were in storage last year. Wheat stocks was reported at 1.78 billion bushels, just ahead of the analyst estimate compiled by Rutgers at 1.772 billion, and a little change from last year. A separate report showed all wheat production is forecast by the USDA at 1.812 billion bushels, up from the previous outlook of 1.73. And ahead of the analyst outlook from 1.729 billion bushels. A lot of numbers there. Winter wheat output is pegged at 1.248 billion bushels, up from August forecast of 1.227, not too much, and trade estimate of 1.223 billion. Spring wheat production is seen by the government at 505 million bushels. That's ahead of the year earlier outlook of 450 million bushels. Soybean futures for November delivery overnight fell 3¾ cents to 12.71¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $2.10 to 3.79¢ a short ton, while soy oil rose to 0.22 cents to 56.05 cents a pound. Corn for December delivery gained 4 cents to 4.80¾. Wheat futures was up 7 cents to 5.48½ a bushel in Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City futures added 7¼ cents to 6.71 a bushel. Money managers raised their net short positions or bets on lower prices in corn while reducing their bullish bets on beans, according to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net short position of 166,000 futures contract in corn in the 7 days that ended September 26. That's up from 149,000 a week earlier. Speculators were still bullish on soybeans, though to a lesser extent, holding a net long position or bets on higher prices of 25,930 future contracts last week. That's down from 38,000 contracts a week earlier. In wheat, hedge funds and other large investment houses held a net short position of 16,590 hard red winter futures, up from 12,000 a week earlier. Investors, however, reduced their net short positions in soft red winter wheat to 102,000 contracts, down from 103,000, almost 104,000 the week earlier. Let's see what's happening with the weather in the farm belt. Dry weather in parts of eastern Nebraska and western Iowa this afternoon will give way to thunderstorms tomorrow, with some potentially turning severe, according to the National Weather Survey. Conditions will be prime this afternoon for wildfires and strong winds that will gust up to 35 miles an hour and low humidity. A line of storms will move into central and eastern Nebraska tomorrow afternoon, bringing strong winds and brief but heavy rainfall. Rainfall is also expected in parts of eastern Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon and evening. As much as 2 inches of precipitation is forecasted for that area. The threat for a few strong to severe storms will remain mostly limited, though. According to the National Weather Service, cooler and drier weather will move into the region throughout the week. So, there ye have it. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a OCA break. Come back. Got a little more about them. You guys, put this on your calendar tomorrow. You want to listen to the show tomorrow. Clarendon College, a live interview with them out at the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County. A couple of the teachers and to the students. It was a really fun, interesting interview, so be sure and tune in tomorrow right here on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. Be real good. It's going to be a good show tomorrow, promise you. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Okie dokie doo dah day. Good afternoon, Western Oklahoma. A good afternoon, Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 22nd. I'm Drew Cobb. 2,147 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 518 brought 273. 9 at 529 brought 290. 10 at 566 brought 240. 8 at 599 brought 259. 7 at 626 brought 234. 3 at 670 brought 255. 12 at 948 brought 228. 5 head of heifers at 446 brought 250. 8 at 517 brought 236. 4 at 558 brought 230, 9 at 592 brought 222, 7 at 616 brought 221, 10 at 629 brought 220, 6 at 763 brought 228.50, butcher cows were 52 to 128, butcher bulls brought 22 to 135.50, bred cows were 950 to 1900, pairs brought 800 to 2200. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. you should keep all the profit.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Dozer, Texas, you are 81 degrees. Heat index is 82. Humidity's at 53%. Dew point's at 62. Winds out of the south at 11 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 19 miles an hour. So far, month to date, precipitation, 0.43 inches of rain. 8-inch soil temperature is 75. Sorry, it blinked on me. I had to wait for it to quit blinking there. Okay, let's see what's happening right now with the up-to-date grain prices on the futures. December corn, 488, up over 11 today. March is 503. May is 511. Soybeans up just a little bit, not too bad, at 1275 for November, 1295 for January. March is 1312. Soybean meal is down quite a bit, actually, $7.60. October's 360, 830. December's down about the same amount at 374.60. And January's 373.10. Soybean oil is up a little bit, over a penny, 58.96 for October, 57.09 for December. January is 56.43. Hard red winter wheat making a little bit of recovery because Friday was bad. I mean, I think wheat lost a quarter maybe, but it was just bad. I think it was a little bit of profit taking and didn't know if the government was going to shut down or not. That scenario going on Friday for everything. December wheat, 676, up 12. March is 684, up 12. May is 690, also up 12. And what's cotton doing today? Nothing major going on there. October's 86.86, down a little, almost two pennies. December's 87.72. March is 88.56. And May is 89.80. Sugar's taking a little. Speaking of sugar, I seen sugardaddy.com this morning. He's looking good, feeling good. He's working on his pineapple farm maize that he's going to have for Oktoberfest or Halloween, I think, is what he was telling me. It's hard to hear him sometimes. He mumbles. But anyway, I think he's going to do a maize. They're going to do, like, taste testing of pineapples, chunks, and pineapple juice as you go through his maize. But as soon as I have more details on that, I'll let you know. It's complicated, I promise you. Anyway, oil is... what is oil doing? West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down at $1.33. November, $89.46. December's $87.64. And natural gas, what's it doing? It's down. November's at $2.86. December's down $3.20 to $3.25. And January's $3.51. All right, let's see what's happening with the cattle market. Live cattle for October is back up about 50 cents at 184.70, 188.65 for December, and February's 193.52. Feeder cattle for October back up about $1.22 at 253.70. November's 256.22. January's 259.75. March is 263.02. And April is 266.95. Okay, let me get to my email here so I can get this going on here. Get the right dates in my brain here. Where are we at? There we go. Ugh, allergies are kicking in already today. Okay. 10 head or 10,000 head? Cow-calf stockers or feeders selling at the sale barn? Retaining ownership or marketing retail? The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association has something for everyone. As cattle producers, we all have many of the same goals in mind. profitability, stewardship, feeding the world, and protecting our resources and livelihood for generations to come. To become a member or to learn about ways to get more involved, go to okcattlemen.org. And speaking Oklahoma cattlemen, let's see, they got the fall gatherings is going to start here in a few weeks. Maybe I can get Lori Campbell from Arnett, Oklahoma, to come on and talk about some of these fall gatherings and what else is happening with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. But put this on your calendar, October 24th at Leedy, Oklahoma, at the Stairwalt Cattle Company there on the highway. October 26th, the headquarters in Briscoe, Oklahoma. And October 30th in Guthrie at the Rustic Rose Barn. Excuse me. And November 2nd at the Cross Race at Stigler, Oklahoma. And then they will have one at the Wheeler Farm November 6th in Chickasha. Just to give you a heads up on some of them that's coming up. But anyway, I will keep you in tune with what's happening there for sure. Okay, let's see what happened. And let's go. First one popped up was Texas. So we'll go with that with their weekly cattle auction summary. Looks like there was 5,967 head went through the sale barns last week compared to 6,200 the week before, but is on track with last year. Compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $1 to $6 lower. Trade activity and demand was moderate. Higher than average temperatures are forecasted through the week, but buyers are still putting a heavy emphasis on vaccination programs and long weaning as we move into October. So keep that in mind if you're selling cattle. Slaughter cows and bulls trade at $5 to $10 lower. Let's see here. Let's go through a few of them here in big state of Texas. It's the Red River rivalry this week. How about that? Texas OU and the Cotton Bowl. Can't wait. Best game of the year. I will say that the T team might have a little better shot this year, but I'm an OU fan, so Texas is not back yet in my book, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, here's some 300-pound, 320 to be exact, sold for $350. That was average price was $327, so that's pretty good. Here, let's see, we got 65 head of 515 pounders that would wing, bringing 291. And then some 6 to 630, around 621 to be exact, would bring anywhere from 241 to 261, and they were unwinged. Here's some 668s, bringing in, they were winged, would bring in 247 to 266, so nickel, 10 cents higher on the 600 pounders. Down here in the heifer range, as soon as I can find them. Here we go. On the heifers, there's some 414 pounders, brought 285 that were unwinged, but some 484 weights brought 295. And we got some 6-weight heifers brought up to 258. Some 7-weight heifers brought up to 248.75. And some 8-weight heifers brought up to 220. 217.50 was the average. And some 9-weight heifers brought $1.99. So that is what was happening in down south in the big state. And then in Oklahoma, looks like there was 29,151 heads went through the sale barns last week compared to 32,191 the week before. But last year, there was 38,000 head went through the sale barns. Compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $3 lower. Feeder heifers mostly steady. Demand was moderate to good for feeder cattle despite cattle futures to selling lower. Stocker cattle sold $4 to $8 lower. Steer calves steady to $3 lower. Heifer calves $3 to $6 lower. Demand moderate for calves with many farmers busy in the field planting winter crops. Slaughter cows fully $5 lower, slaughter bulls $2 higher, packer demand was moderate. All right, let's see what was happening. Here's some 3-4 weights. Unwinged sold for $3, weights were $337, some 386, a little fleshy it says here, $257, and some 371s, thin flesh, brought $347.50, 480 weights brought up to $316, some 5 weights brought up to $299. Here was some thin fleshed 529 weights brought 312 to be more exact. And in the six weights, they had some 20 cents difference in six weights between unweaned and weaned. Weaned was bringing up to 287 and unweaned was bringing up to 268, and that was in the six weight. 715 had some at 277.50, but value was added on them, and then some weaned ones brought 263. Some nine weight steers, big bunch of those was bringing anywhere from 201 to 244. Average price on those 964s was 237.23. Here's seven that weighed 1,121 pounds, brought $2 even. So you can do the math in your head on that one. See what heifers we're doing. Oh, we got some 319s brought 286. Some 315s brought 304, had value added. And then some four weights was bringing up to 279. Five weights was bringing up to 269 is the highest I see in there. Six weight heifers was bringing up to 256 was the highest I see in there. Seven weights, 242. Eight weights up to 229. Nine weights up to 214. And 1,000 pound evens was bringing $1.82. And these were on heifers, medium and large, number one. All right, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, we got more news in the ag world. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call, SEI Agritech, today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your ag weather for Lahoma. 86 degrees, feels like 85. Dew points at 58. Humidity is at 40%. The winds are out of the south at 12 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall, 0. 10-day rainfall, 0. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 78 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.3. Sunset, 7:16 tonight. And man, we're losing time, daylight fast. Anyway, forecast for Lahoma is mostly sunny today and 89 degrees. Winds out of the south at 13 miles an hour. Tonight, 66, southeast to south winds, 9 to 12 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 40% chance of thunderstorms, 88 for a high. The winds will be out of the south, 10 to 20 miles an hour. So it's going to be a little breezy tomorrow. Okay, I wanted to check, see what's happening in the cotton world right now. Let's go through here. That was a little late there. Okay, the House overwhelmingly rejected amendment offered by Republican Victoria Sparks, Republican out of Indiana, to defund all USDA checkoff programs. How can they defund it when we fund it? Anyway, the amendment was offered during floor consideration of the fiscal year 24 USDA FDA appropriations bill, but fell big time. 49 said yes, 377 said no, ma'am, oh thank you. So anyway, that was a good deal. In response to record producer interest in the National Resources Conservation Service, which is the NRCS, assistance to the fiscal year 23, the USDA recently announced that it will make available $3 billion in additional funding to advance climate smart conservation programs. The NRCS climate smart initiatives are primary, administered through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, the Conservation Stewardship Program, the Agriculture Conservation Easements Program, and the Regional Conservation Partnership Program. Whew, I got all that done there and didn't even stutter. The USDA expects the influx of new NRCS funding to boost such practices as wetland restoration, cover cropping, and nutrient management, among other activities. So, one of these days, get with your local NRCS office for more information. Let's see here. What else going on in the cotton world? The EPA revises another water rule. We'll get into that when they get through revising, because I got more to say about that anyway. Anyway, those attending the 2024 Beltwide Cotton Conference, set for January 3rd through the 5th in the Omni Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, may register at www.cotton.org/beltwide/index for registration, if you're going to be headed that way. Okay, sales weakening, shipments hold steady. Net export sales for the week ending on September 21st with 73,100 bales. This brings the total 23-24 sales to about 5.8 million bales. Total sales at the same point in 2022-23 marketing year were about 8.4 million bales. Total new crop for 24-25 sales are already at 416,600 bales. Shipments for the week were 166,300 bales, bringing total exports to date 1.4 million bales, compared with 1.9 million bales at a comparable point in the 22-23 marketing year. So I think that gets us up to date on cotton. I know I've seen on social media that 101 down there around Sentinel, he was out He had a tractor lined up in his cotton. I don't know what he was going to do. He didn't get very specific, or I didn't understand what he was going to do. So anyway, but if he's listening, hey, let me know. Just shoot a text into me here, Mr. 101. Let me know what you're doing out there in your cotton fields this morning. I figure after this rain and some other stuff, I don't know how far peanuts are from digging, but I'd say they're getting up. It's getting closer to time. We're getting close. We'll see what happens. All right. What do we got? Here we go. Inflation aside, Americans spend more money for food. Outlays on food away from home grew by an inflation-adjusted 11% last year at the same time inflation was driving up prices, according to this report. Americans opened their wallets to spend a record amount of food last year, even when inflation is considered, partly because they like the convenience of takeout and restaurant food, said two USDA economists. Outlays on food away from the home grew by an inflation-adjusted 11% last year at the same time inflation was driving up them prices. These trends suggest that consumers were willing to increase their share of food away from home spending in their budgets, even with rising prices. Moreover, while some households may have adjusted their food away from home consumption in the response to rising costs, wage growth or improved economic conditions may have resulted in more disposable income for others. This increased financial flexibility could have allowed for some households to maintain or even increase their food away from home spending despite higher prices. In an article in the USDA's online magazine Amber Waves, Zabella and Sinclair said consumers spent 53.9 cents of their food dollars on food away from home during 2022, the largest share since USDA began tracking expenditures. Food away from home generally costs more than groceries purchased for home consumption. Since 2004, with the exception of the pandemic year of 2020, Americans have spent more on food away from home annually than food at home. Spending on food away from home rebounded in 2021 and surpassed the 2019 levels by mid-year. Several factors contributed to their resurgence, including reopening of restaurants, availability of takeout options, and the return to work for many people. Adjusted for inflation, annual U.S. spending on food increased 70% from 1997 to 2022, they said. The U.S. population grew 24% during that 25-year period. How about those numbers? I didn't know we grew that much, but I guess we did. Anyway, let's take an OCA break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. And I want to talk a little bit about some drought conditions and also the non-turbo John Deere 6030. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service. 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You got to get your oil changed, but taking time out of your day can be a hassle. We've got your answer. We'll come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. You keep living your life, and we'll take care of the legwork. any make or model, no matter where you bought it, just give us a call and make an appointment. We'll come get it, do the work, and bring it back to you. Make your life a little bit easier with a no-hassle oil change, where that is the Barber Dyson difference. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
H2O Bait Tackle and More is passionate about helping you get the most out of your fishing experiences. Whether you're chasing trophy bass or simply spending a relaxing day on the water, they have an abundant selection of rods, reels, hooks, and lures, all from the top brands in the industry. While you're there, they'll hook you up with the right equipment for whatever type of fish you are trying to catch. So come see for yourself the biggest selection of fishing gear and accessories in Western Oklahoma at H2O Bait, Tackle, and More on Pioneer Road in Elk City.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, SouthStarTXJCB.com. That's SouthStarTXJCB.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back from that OCA break. Your ag weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. I picked Hollis. Currently it's 87 degrees there. Feels like 88. Dew point 61. Humidity is 42. The winds are out of the south at 12 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall and 10-day rainfall. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 82 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.2. Sunset, 7:24. Today, partly sunny, 89 degrees. Winds out of the south, 14 to 18 miles an hour. Tonight, 20% chance of thunderstorms at 68 degrees. South winds, 9 to 15. Tomorrow, rain showers likely, 60% chance. High of 88, and the winds will be out of the southeast at 9 to 20 miles an hour. So there it is. They're predicting it. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we are 83.7 degrees with 40% humidity. Okay, let's go with this. Drought conditions are impacting crop insurance costs. Extreme weather is increasing the cost of crop insurance and making it harder for farmers to secure coverage. Cotton farmers across the high plains and rolling plains of Texas fight the rain, the wind, the blowing sand of spring to get the crop in the ground and watch it grow. But too often lately, they're watching it weather. We aren't used to having a rotation of both crops being hard each year, says Sutton Page, a cotton farmer and wheat farmer from Jones County, Texas. What's normal in a dry year is having either a bad wheat crop or a tough cotton crop. But having multiple years of back-to-back where conditions don't allow for much profit in either crop operation, he says, is making it tough. Extreme weather such as the drought in Texas is not just wearing on the spirit of American farmers. It's also been leading to more crop insurance claims and increased costs for the taxpayer, insurance provider, and farmer. A Stanford University study published in 2021 analyzed the impact of warming temperatures on the cost of crop insurance from 1991 to 2017 and found it contributed to more than 19% of the $141 billion in losses covered by the federal program in the same time frame. In addition to farming, Page is an independent insurance agent in his area. He's seen premiums go up in recent years, he says, but it hasn't been unattainable for farmers yet. If you're filling it claims every year as a producer, you're going to get to a point where it's not feasible to take out 70% of your APH, which is your average production history, to make it work. You may only take 50%, he says, explaining this would be an extreme scenario, and most farmers strive to harvest a crop when they can to maintain a strong APH. When you do have a year like we had last year, that's when you want your APH to be as healthy as possible. However, he has noticed the cost of hail coverage where he farms has more than doubled in the past 10 years. Hail coverage is not federally subsidized. It gets harder and harder to sell it, and it's hard for me to buy it personally, but if I have a really good wheat crop out there, I'm going to buy it, he says. Furthermore, rising costs are making it more difficult for some farmers in high-risk areas to obtain coverage at all. When the insurance company can't get enough premium, the farmer has a hard time getting insurance because nobody wants to write it in that area that they're in, says Peter Johnson, executive vice president of Alliant Insurance Services, a specialty brokerage firm that offers crop insurance. Multi-peril crop insurance premiums, which are federally subsidized, are set each year by the USDA Risk Management Agency. But Johnson cites a two-year lag in the premiums keeping up with actual cost. We are required by law to provide premium stability to producers and cannot increase premium rates by more than 20% from year to year, says a USDA spokesperson. This means there are instances where we can update the premium rate to its target in 1 year. In other cases, it may take longer. Insurance providers operating in an area cannot legally deny coverage to a farmer, but Jim Corn, president of the NAU Country Insurance, says he has heard rumors of providers pulling out of the areas because the cost of risk is too high. This is not something we've done at NAU Country, he says. In fact, we've expanded our writings to make sure we take care of those farmers. As a nationwide company, NAU Country can stay profitable when there is prolonged drought in Texas, for example, because other areas of the country do better and make up for the loss. While it has become more challenging to find coverage in some area, Johnson notes Alliant has not had a client go without because other insurance providers step up. The concern is that the trend continues. The approved insurance providers that are willing to step up may reach capacity and there could be limited insurability. Corn expects the risk management agency to raise rates over the next couple of years, which he says will help the situation, although it still makes things harder for the farmer. He also says widespread participation is key to program affordability. The more crops, the more farmers you cover, the better chance you have of long-term success, he says. This is a taxpayer-funded program, and for the program to succeed, we have to include all farmers we possibly can, and the pooling concept of insurance will make the rate more affordable. While the changing climate has posed challenges for all involved, sources agree the program is worth maintaining. I don't know of any cotton producer right now that does not take out any federal crop insurance, says Page. In the past, probably 20 years ago, I knew some guys. If they felt like it was going to be a wet year, they didn't take it out. It's not a risk nowadays that a farmer can take. Corn says his company has hosted visitors from many countries looking to learn from the success of U.S. crop insurance. We're truly the envy of the world, and has become because our government decided in the 30s, 40s, and 50s that a safe and affordable food supply was part of our national security. Think about COVID years when you went to the grocery stores and there wasn't anything on the shelves, if that were to happen for lengths of time, 6 months, a year at a time, it would be a downright lot of outright chaos, he says. And that's a big 10-4. Oh, I forgot to tell you about one of my ventures on yesterday. So a couple weeks ago, I seen on Tradio on the text line, a guy was wanting to trade a grill guard for a 2019 three-quarter ton to one-ton Chevrolet truck, which I got for some reload equipment. Well, I just happened to have some. It only took me 2 weeks to find it. But anyway, I found it. So I met up with him yesterday and swapped out some reload equipment for that nice grill guard to go on the front of my truck, because I kind of had an incident here a while back and kind of did a little bending on it. So I got me a new one now. But this guy was so nice. I'm going to call him Johnny, and that's as far as I'm going to go. And he brought me, I think, 18-pack and a 12-pack of home-raised chicken eggs. And he also brought me a big box of potatoes. I can't remember. They're red somethings. I'm not a potato expert. But anyway, got a big box of that. And then what else? Oh, a jar of grape jelly and a jar of wild plum jelly. Now, how about that for a horse trade on a Sunday morning? That was pretty good. And he got reloading equipment, and I got my grill guard, and I already took my old one off. I'm working on my new one. I got to find me buddy to help me take the grill off the front of my truck so I don't mess it up. I'm not very good at taking that plastic stuff off without tearing stuff up, but I'll get me an expert involved in on that deal. So we'll be just fine on that deal. All right, we got just enough time to talk about the John Deere non-turbo 6030. I honestly, until I seen this article, I didn't know that there was any non-turbo 6030s. Come find out, there's only 45 of them. There were only 45 of them made. He said he profiled the 6030 a couple of years ago, but if I was honest, I glossed over the 6030 non-turbo. At the time, it was fine because it really didn't have any bearing on the restored row crop tractor that Jake Rice was selling. However, that's not the case here. Save for one that painted industrial yellow at the factory, the 6030 non-turbo tractors are the rarest versions of the 6030 model. In about 3 weeks, you can own one if you want one, so pay attention. I'll tell you when it's selling. It's selling at an online collector auction just northeast of St. Louis, Missouri. But by the late 1960s, the muscle tractor horsepower wars had shifted into overdrive. All the major tractor players were getting into the game, pushing bigger and bigger power numbers out the door. Deere was part of that game too, releasing the turbocharged 4520 in 1969, the 4620 in 1971. They were good tractors, but at the time, I think Harvester had the edge. Well, in March of 1972, John Deere launched the 6030 to take it back. The 6030 was the final evolution of the 5010 and 5020, and it was a monster. Over 18,000 pounds, it was a lot beefier than its predecessors and made a lot more power, too, where the national 5020 was only good for 141 PTO horsepower, the 6030 tested at 176. However, by most accounts, a typical 6030 made a lot closer to 200 to 215 horsepower. The thing that made the 6030 so much better was John Deere's turbocharged big block, 531 cubic inch inline six. The 5020 didn't have that, and it definitely showed when the two were next to each other. So there you go. Got that going on. Hey, last year we talked about people going up and down the river tearing out some landowners' water gaps. Well, I want to mention this again. The river belongs to that landowner. The water might belong to the American public, but the river, the land it stands on. Down there south Carter on the river, somebody's been down there taking out water gaps with their side-by-side. That landowner said to tell you he has cameras up now. you're in trouble. Don't let him catch you down there. Man, please respect other landowners' land, especially on the river. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
A pickup on a dirt road, kicking up dust. That's what country sounds like. 96.5 KECO, Elk City.